Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss how to deal with a difficult person at work. Now, this person is not your boss or your coworker, but in fact, it's actually a customer or a client of your company.
Yeah.
So this can be especially challenging when the client or customer is the one that brings in a large chunk of revenue to your company, but they happen to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, so you have to find some way to make peace with this kind of situation.
I think you got to smooth over. The company's largest customer, I don't want to say is always right, but
you don't want to say
you're not the right one. You're never right with the customer.
Well, you just, you know, somehow they have to feel okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll take their business away, which, you know, I think is why they do it. But anyway, let's just go to the question, Logan.
I'm a communications expert working for a company that I love. We have one client, however, who I find to be extremely difficult to work with. He's the kind of person who has to correct everything I give him. He has to put his opinion in at every discussion, and he's always implying that he could be doing my job better than I can. His criticism and controlling behavior drive me crazy, but his company is one of our largest accounts, so I have to find a way to work with him. How do I deal with this person effectively?
I don't think that that's the right question. How do I deal with him effectively? I think the question is, how do I preserve my own integrity when working with this person?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, clearly, if the person thinks they can do the job better than you, I'm assuming that's not accurate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't think the person would be asking this.
No, right. But I think what's interesting even about the way the question is posed is that one often thinks there must be something I'm doing that's, you know, perpetuating this. Like somehow I'm allowing this client to mow over me. And so sometimes there's a false feeling that there must be something I can do proactively to rein them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would wonder what predecessors have done and what does upper management say about this person? Has this been a long-standing issue?
Probably.
I mean, it's probably has been.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're on our own company here, so when somebody is that disruptive, we let them go as a customer. Even if they're really big, you know, we can't afford to have somebody ruin our day like that. So we would fire them. But I think if, you know, you've got a bigger company with lots of employees, you can't just do that.
Right.
But how disruptive for someone to be that way. Okay, so I say you never let this person see you sweat. And so what does that mean? You can't get defensive.
Uh-huh.
You can't get angry. You can't get sad. Can't cry. None of that. You just can't let them know that they're having an effect on you. Because I think they live off of that.
They like to see you squirm, so to speak.
They have power, and they know they have power, and he's using it or she's using it inappropriately.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
So the first thing is therapist? To not...
thick skin.
Yeah, totally thick skin. You know, first of all, it's very predictable now. You know every time you get on the phone with this person or you have to see them that they're going to be mean.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're going to say inaccurate statements to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're speaking to the external, I'll speak to the internal.
Correct.
I think the biggest challenge with this kind of person and how not to let them see you sweat is that you have to speak to yourself. You've got to talk yourself off the ledge regarding, because usually what I find, and I've actually had a few of these under, you know, that I've had to work with, is that they're able to say the very thing that gets you so angry.
I think they know what's
like,
going to get you.
Right. It's as if they have a sixth sense.
They do.
Of what your vulnerability is. So if you're afraid that you're not going to be viewed as professional, they'll say something like, who created this document? You know, did you finish high school. I don't. They, mm-hmm. So they say mm-hmm. the very things that will tend to get a strong reaction or rise out of you, which is what, Kathy, you're talking about. So the self-management piece here is twofold. First, you have to accept that you can't control this person mm-hmm. and that they're going to do this thing. And then I think always think the best preparation is to know what you know about what they're likely to do and how they're likely to criticize whatever it is you're going to be presenting to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you also need a pat answer, right, for mm-hmm. when they try to get you to defend yourself.
I was just going to say that. I agree. I think you need mantras that you say to them, like, oh, I'm so sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let me go check on that and get back to you.
Right.
Interesting point. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
You know, something that you say that they can't really argue with.
Right. I agree. And the other thing that I think is important to do for you is when they're talking, certainly if it's a face-to-face meeting, but even if you're talking to them over Skype or a conference or a call, that you should take notes of what they're saying. And this is really just a stall tactic mm-hmm. to kind of take, because when the thoughts hit your head, your brain, and your thinking system, and you start to have a reaction, taking notes can be sort of a container for whatever feelings start to come up for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you a little bit of a pause. And then finally, I would just say you need to do a lot of self-care in between meetings.
Absolutely. Yeah, to take care of yourself. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about unhooking physically. So mm-hmm. do take exercising if that's something you like to do, walking if that's something that helps you, spending time out in nature, whatever it is that helps you release the toxins, because that's what happens when you interact with this kind of person, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you come away just feeling gross.
You know, mm-hmm. I have somebody in my family like this. I'm not going to say who. And he's an old man now. But right. He would terrorize everybody, and nothing was ever right. I mean, he would just look at you, and you felt like crap. Mm. And his energy was just really negative.
Yeah.
He always liked me because I always reacted positively to him.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I would just be very nice to him mm-hmm. and smile. And I just never, I didn't poke him. I didn't make it worse. I don't know what his problem was.
Yeah.
But
some people are just like that.
Right. I didn't make it worse. And to this day, he's still, whenever I'm around, is calmer. Mm. So somehow, you know, that's what I mean about don't show your cards. If this person doesn't feel, because everyone runs from this person.
Right.
Don't you think? Right?
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
runs
no
from
No one likes
them.
Working with mm-hmm. them, I'm sure.
And they know.
And why he still has the position is amazing. I mean, maybe he owns the company, or maybe his company likes that he puts everyone on the defensive.
Well, that may be it, that the company thinks that this person is ensuring that they get the most bang for their buck, you know,
right.
that
mm-hmm.
they keep, he's keeping the vendors on their mm-hmm. toes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So charming, actually being kind of like, you know, always being sort of positive to a negative person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that works, uh-huh. but you can't take offense to anything they say that you do wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't. You just, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do. I mean, you're being paid for this job. This isn't,
right.
you know, you don't have to take that kind of abuse, but sometimes you do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I would also use upper management. I would go to upper management mm-hmm. and, you know, let them know that you need help, that you need support, that they're going to have to step in occasionally, and they're going to have to,
uh-huh.
you know, speak up, you know, that this should not just be all on your shoulders.
And that takes a lot of confidence on your part to feel like, because I think what often happens is if you're someone who takes great pride in your work, you mm-hmm. think, I should be able to handle this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you can see clearly, okay, this is a big fish and a difficult one, and upper management should be helping me with this. Like mm-hmm. it benefits them and it will benefit me for them to step in on occasion and manage this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think you need to go to your immediate supervisor and let them know that this is the case. And you're probably going to find out that that's the way it's been.
Right.
Right.
That it's not just you. You're not. And that's a good thing to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's not about you. They treat everybody this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, you're not going to be the one who's going to turn them into a positive person. But you want to have yourself a fairly positive experience, which may not happen. I know we're all shaking our heads. Like, this is awful. I would also start looking for another job if you can't get away from this.
Well, what I was thinking is that one of the things you could do is if you go to your supervisor and say, this is very difficult. I'm sure you're aware of that. And they say, and you could say, how do you cope with this person? Mm-hmm. How do you handle their barbs? What do you say when they say this is ridiculous or we're at amateur hour here? How do you respond to those comments? And I think the other piece is that you're going to, I was just thinking, this is the kind of client where when you see their email in your box, you can have a whole visceral reaction.
This is going to wear you down. Yeah. I mean, you can only take so much of it, I think, if you're, a normal person.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think it goes back to that integrity piece that you were talking about earlier. How much of yourself do you compromise for this person?
I mean, we don't do it here. That's a policy that we have. I mean, if somebody gave us a hard time about you, Logan, we would have to tell them to go take a hike. Mm. I mean, we don't allow anybody here to get abused.
Right.
So, but that, we can do that. We're in a position to do that. But most companies are really not, especially if it's the biggest customer.
Big revenue, yeah.
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 Revenue drivers, as they call them.
But I think this is a problem if a business is dependent. If it's so dependent on one client, you need some more business strategy to figure out how not to be dependent on one client and look for another one.
Right.
But that's not the question.
a kinder one, preferably.
Yeah.
All right, so we're saying try your best not to react. Don't let them see you sweat. Mm-hmm. Come up with some catchphrases, and perhaps your supervisor or someone else who's serviced this account before can help you with that. Mm-hmm. That's such as, let me look into that. That's an interesting point. Let me get back to you on that when they're busy giving you feedback you don't want. And then also consider whether you may want to go elsewhere.
I think so. And I would also add just, a little charm. Be really charming to them and see if that works. It may not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing that's interesting going to the charm, and this is probably slightly manipulative, but this kind of person always wants to hear that their ideas are good. Mm-hmm. Right? So you don't have to say, I love that idea. You could say that's an interesting point when you're thinking like it's interesting and stupid. You could still say.
A little white lie.
Actually, my husband, who Cliff had this great thing, I can't show it on a podcast, but he had this way of like, if someone said something truly obnoxious, he'd hold his chin and go,
Interesting.
Let me contemplate that.
And how do people interpret that?
They never thought it was a negative. They always thought, okay, he's mulling it over, mulling my suggestion over.
Right.
Right.
It's pretty clever, actually. But you can't do that on the phone or conference call or a number of other situations.
Well, it's part of, charming them, letting them know that you're hearing them and you're going to consider everything they've said.
Right.
And that you're not, I think that they get a lot of disrespect in general because of their personality. I believe they do. I think that they push people away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can embrace it, it might work. I don't know.
Well, now I'm thinking other tactical things. Like you could have, if you have other, hopefully you have other, this may be the only account you work on, but hopefully you have other accounts. Make sure that you get some good feedback from those or really enjoy working on those. Mm-hmm. There may be someone under this person who works in the same company who is easier to deal with. You might try to.
Another thing, I think you should document everything.
Uh-huh.
When you get the nasty things that they said and save the emails. I just think you should have it so that you can show your supervisor what you've been putting up with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can get transferred. Something like that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with more.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We thought we would just talk about the clients that we've let go because we felt that they were... for some reason, we just didn't feel we could help them.
Right.
Yeah. And to keep them as clients, they would be more disruptive to us as in our business than anything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Actually, no, I'm remembering just long ago when we ran business groups and I was newbie. I was new to it. Mm-hmm. I'd been doing it for maybe a year or so. Mm-hmm. And so every group had four or five business owners. So in my group was this particular person who was just a negatron, like so critical. And that was a problem in the group, right?
Yes,
because
you can't
have only found the fault and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but it wasn't clear yet. It was just an, you know, maybe after the first or second session, and we ended up riding down in the subway together to our prospective homes. Mm-hmm. And she read me the riot act of these people are so pathetic and you don't know what you're doing. And yeah, it was a whole kind of deriding.
Negative Nancy.
Negative, yeah. And meanwhile, I was just like, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. But then I got, I did actually exactly what you're talking about, Kathy. I just said, oh, yes, let's look into that. You know,
right.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking Kathy's going to kill me because I'm not servicing this client.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that sometimes people are just like that. Anyway, I got out of the subway and I called you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I just ruined one of your clients. And Kathy's like, if someone makes you cry, that's not our client, Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good indicator. It was a very nice moment, but also very true, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, one of the things I remember saying this to Alan Firestone when he worked with us, he's passed away. May he rest in peace. That what he also took everything very, very
personally.
Yeah, anything a client looked at him the wrong way, he thought he did something wrong.
Right.
And I said, you know, we are so tough on ourselves, Catherine and I are so tough on ourselves that any client that finds is worse on us than us has to go. Because then I know there's something wrong with them because I have crossed every T, you know, but people have pushed us and we've had to let them go as clients. I remember this one woman, she called us in and she, you know, had a pretty fairly good sized staff, maybe 15. And she said, I don't know what it is. They think I'm too tough, you know, something like that. And then we talked to these people and they were war torn. It was like they had been, in Bosnia.
They had PTSD.
Oh yeah. She was so abusive.
Yeah.
We tried to help her a little bit. She couldn't really hear it. And then we just let her go.
Right.
And I think that's the ultimate for us is that when we find people that are abusive, we won't, you know, we tell them.
What was her behavior? Right. What was she?
She was a yeller. She was a screamer and she demeaned.
Mm-hmm. But and the thing that's interesting and I think is also true in some of these client stories is she had one public persona.
Yes.
Right? She was very perfectly coiffed and very polite and certainly well educated, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then she had their inside persona.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
She actually did it to me. And this was, I think, one of the last times I saw her. Our book was about to come out, Working With You Is Killing Me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something, just a bunch of really nasty things to me, like, oh, books don't make it. You're not going to be, you know, really negative. What, you wasted your time. You should have never done that. And then within a couple of weeks, it was on the New York Times bestsellers list, which I made sure to send her. But I also did tell her that I now know what your staff feels like.
Yes.
Having that conversation with you, I now know what your staff feels like. And that didn't feel too good.
Yeah.
And I would never talk to her again after that. I mean, she was inaccurate. She just really needed to put people down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why, because I'm not her therapist, and you were never her therapist, right?
No.
Yeah, she had a therapist.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. God
she had
her.
A few, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. And also, she had this little yappy dog. But anyway, I don't want to talk about her anymore. So, I also once had a client that was very chaotic.
Yes.
Like, you know, he would always be late for his appointments. And when he came, he was on the phone and then he didn't have what he had needed. And I had to give him a paper and a pen. And it was just chaotic. So I finally just said to him, I can't really help you. I don't think I can help you.
Right.
And he got really upset and straightened out. and then was so much better.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes when you draw the line, they are willing to behave differently.
Right. So I think it's very sad that we got this question this morning. I think it's really sad that any company or organization would have to keep a client because they were dependent on them. Right. I don't think that's a good formula, but
right.
It's big business.
It happens a lot. And actually, though, I think if you are someone who has a tough client and you have some ability to, in the meantime, market and try to develop other customers, I mean, that's what you always used to say, Kathy, to business owners. Mm-hmm. If you find you're too reliant on one customer, one client, get out there and generate more options for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you have more clients in the funnel, that person has less power.
Exactly. It gives, they have a lot of power if they know you're dependent on them and you're never going to get rid of them.
Yeah. It's like an abusive relationship.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's that formula is very, very problematic.
It's also, I think, a cultural issue because there are certain companies that may not allow harsh treatment, but then there are others for whom that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
In doing business.
Right. Right. Yeah,
culture.
So, yeah.
Culture.
You may not want to work for an organization who allows clients to be nasty to its staff. I mean, a lot of companies don't. They don't allow that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair practice. I mean, you know, it's only your income. It's not your life. You're not working, but most of us are not working at a nonprofit that's doing good in the world where, you know, it's your job. You're not going to, you should not be abused at your job.
Yeah.
So you know, that's where we stand.
Well, we've worked with a lot of government departments, and they always tell us that the abuse is from the American citizens, not from internal. So there's that problem, too. If you're a mailman or you're an IRS collector or you work for CMS or you work for the Department of Health, I mean, there's, and you deal with the American public, they can be very, very tough, too.
Well, and you're a public servant, so literally that's who you're servicing. And I imagine, again, if you've got some clever colleagues or a decent boss or supervisor or just people who have some wisdom, they could give you some tips on how to deal with that. I mean, we are all going to come across difficult customers or clients or individuals at work.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
So managing them, and I guess starting again with handling your own internal reaction. I always say if you feel crazy, you're in crazy. And that, you know, a lot of times people who have like a chaotic energy or with whom you can't win or where you always find yourself replaying their conversations, it's telling you that there's a crazy element in them that's triggering you feeling out of control. So it's good to use that information.
Mm-hmm. It's all about them.
Yeah, it is.
That's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories about difficult clients and how you handle them to AskK2. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
And follow us on Instagram.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.